I invite you to turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 12, if you would please. Luke chapter 12, we're going to start in verse 35, page 846 in your Red Pew Bibles. I want to encourage you, always encourage you to read along with us. Sometimes we can grasp more than just hearing. If we hear and we read, it'll be helpful to us. A couple weeks ago, Diana and I had the opportunity to go down to Myrtle Beach and visit my aunts. And with my one aunt, she had a very interesting contraption in her living room, and I had seen it before. It's called a Galileo thermometer. Any of you have ever seen a Galileo thermometer? That's one of those fascinating things. It's, you know, the engineer in me just kind of like is drawn to things like that. And what it is, it's a glass tube that is filled with a certain type of liquid. And then inside the tube are these different little glass bulbs that are filled with liquids of differing densities. And so, when the surrounding fluid... I got to quit following my notes and just tell you what it is. That when the density changes within the tube, then those bulbs will rise or fall. The ones that are heavier than the denseness in the liquid, they will fall to the bottom. The ones that are lighter, they will rise to the top. And so at any given density, as the temperature in the room changes, okay, it'll change the temperature of the liquid inside that tube. And so at any given density, some bulbs are going to float to the top, some bulbs will sink. And then those bulbs have temperature gauges attached to them, like a number of temperature. And so you can roughly, gives you a rough estimate about the temperature of the liquid, which is actually the temperature of the room. And after I hacked up that story, telling that story, I was thinking about how those bulbs, some of them rise and some of them fall. I was thinking, you know what, that's a lot of what our life is like sometimes. We have trials, we have challenges, we have difficulties in life that reveal what our faith is truly made of. We encounter health issues. We have a disagreement with somebody. A lot of times, sometimes it's somebody that we really love. We have problems at work. We respond to issues in society and culture that kind of cause us distress. And all those things affect our faith. And either we are going to rise and get closer to Jesus, or we're going to sink and get farther away from him. So with the events that are going on in your life in regards to just this past week in your life, are you rising and getting closer to Jesus, or do you feel yourself getting farther away from him? Last week we looked at this passage of scripture where Jesus said, we ended with this, Jesus said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And we talked about the importance of Jesus being our treasure. Like, he is the most important thing. He is the most important person in our life more than anything else. And when he is the treasure in our life, we will experience the best life, even as we go through difficult times. In our scripture today, we see that Jesus challenges his disciples because he knows that there are some storms that are heading their way, and he wants their relationship with God to increase and rise. He doesn't want them to fall away. And so let's look at this passage of scripture. We're going to start in verse 35, okay? Before we do, let's pray. We need to pray because I don't want to hack up anything else on the message, all right? Father God, calm my heart. Father God, I ask your spirit to work in me as I convey what I think you want me to say, Lord, I pray that as your Spirit moves in the congregation, that it would land on each person out there and that each person would receive what you want them to hear and understand and know about you and your truth. Lord, that's my prayer here this morning. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, verse 35. Here's how Jesus starts off picking out, you know, we saw the conversation from last week. He said this, "Be dressed, ready for service, and keep your lamps burning, like servants waiting for their master to return from a wedding banquet, so that when he comes and knocks, they can immediately open the door for him." Now, there's the picture. The master goes away, big wedding banquet. The thing about a wedding banquet is they would usually last a week, okay? So you're not sure when he's coming back, okay? And so, first of all, they need to be ready. And he puts his servants in charge while he's gone. The first thing he says, be dressed. Literally, the phrase there in the Greek is to gird your loins. Okay, that's one of those old type phrases that we may have heard, which means to have your robe ready, pulled up in between your legs, ready to go. Okay, and then he says, have your lamps burning. Well, they didn't have electricity back then, and so you had a lamp when nighttime came. You turn off the lamp and go to sleep. Jesus said, no, you keep it burning. You keep fuel there to put oil in your lamps. You want to be ready to serve your master whenever he comes home. That's the picture that's going on here. Verse 37, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will dress himself to serve, will have them recline at the table, and will come and wait on them. It will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have left his house be broken into. You also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him. Peter asked, Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone? And the Lord answered, who then is the faithful and wise manager, whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, my master is taking a long time in coming. And he begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. And the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour he is not aware of. He will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows. From everyone who has been given much, much will be demanded. And from the one who has been entrusted with much, much more will be asked. Well, when we read the words of Jesus, one of the things we need to remember is that it's often operating on two levels. On the first level, we have Jesus speaking the words to the disciples and to the people of the day. And so in many ways, this is a message strictly for the disciples. And what he's basically telling them there is, you can't take it easy, okay? You need to be ready for some hard times that are going to come upon you. Because remember, Jesus is heading to Jerusalem. He is going to the cross, and the disciples' life is going to be upended. And so he's warning the disciples, you need to be ready, you need to stay prepared. But we also know that this message is for us today. As Luke is writing this, right, he's got his readers in mind, which lived about 40 years after Jesus died, but it's also for us. And we know that Jesus is coming back. One day he will return and he's going to judge the earth. And we can look at this and see it as a judgment passage and we kind of go, oh my gosh, this is really scary. You know, I can't, what is all this going on? It's really brutal. And we can live in fear. But that's not how Jesus wants us to live. He doesn't want us to live in fear. You remember the verse I shared last week? It's becoming one of my new favorite verses, okay? Verse 32, when Jesus told the disciples this, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom." I think that's an awesome verse. And this is Jesus' intention for us. He wants us to enjoy all of his goodness, all of his blessings of God's kingdom right now, right on this earth, right now, not just in the future. And if we are faithfully going about doing the work of God, going about God's business, he tells us we are going to experience those blessings. We're not going to have to worry about this harsh judgment that he describes here. Now, I kind of liken it to, in a way, when your boss tells you that the corporate is going to come down next week, the CEO is coming down for a visit next week, and just wants to check things out, right? Well, when? All right, just sometime next week. That's all he told me. And what happens? People freak out. Oh my gosh! You know, corporate's coming. You know, but here's the deal: if you are consistent in doing your work, and you come into work on time, and you don't take too many trips to the bathroom or to the break room, guess what? You have nothing to fear. You have nothing to fear. This is the message that Jesus is getting across. Now, if you notice in this passage that three times Jesus mentions the phrase, "It will be good," okay? And I always think when Jesus mentions something, especially if he repeats something a couple times, we probably ought to cue in and focus on that and pay attention to that. And so let's see what Jesus has to say. This is kind of, you know, when he tells you it will be good, I kind of think it's a lot like when my wife goes away for the afternoon and she says, "It'll be good if you clean your junk off the table while I'm gone," all right? Or, "It'll be good if you do the dishes." You know, it's kind of like thinking, you know, it's probably what you would like me to do. I probably ought to pay attention to that. So that's what Jesus is saying here. Verse 37, look what he says. "It will be good for those servants whose master finds them watching when he comes." When I was about 14 or 15 or so, I had a good friend that we did a lot of stuff together whose name was Bruce. And we just had a lot of fun. We were like-minded. And I can remember one time I was over at Bruce's house, and his parents were gone. And we just started playing this game of football in his living room. Now, we didn't use a real football. We had kind of a soft football that we used, so because real football would break things. But we were using a soft football, and one of us would be quarterback, and one of us would be, you know, would rush, you know, rush the quarterback. And so we would rearrange the furniture and, you know, of course, take the lamps down, put the lamps down, take the plants down, put them on the floor. You know, we rearranged the whole living room, and then, you know, we would throw passes. You know, if you hit the pillow, you gain 10 yards. If you threw it the length and you hit the garbage can that was going up the steps, that was a long pass, you know. And then we tackle one another into the couches, all this stuff. We just had, you know, we were great make-believe too, you know. So we just have fun like young boys do. You know, we're just playing football. And then the thing about Bruce's house too is that the one side of it was a lot of windows, mostly made up of windows. And so you can see out to the yard, you see out to the driveway. And so we're playing this game, and all of a sudden we see lights pull into the driveway. And it's like, crap, you know, that's my parents, you know. So, you know, we're rushing around, putting things, you know, pushing the couches back in order, putting the lamps back on the lamp stand. Yeah, hurry up, you know, boom, it's done. You know? And it's like, we made it. And the door opens, and there comes his dad, mom and dad walking through. And the first thing his dad says was, you know, we really enjoyed watching you guys frantically trying to put the living room back into order. What were you thinking? You know, I mean, here's the deal. We were into playing games. We weren't watching for his parents to come home. This is the first point that Jesus wants us to know. Is number one is this. It will be good for us to be watching for Jesus' return. It'll be good for us to be watching for Jesus' return. Jesus is coming back. He tells us over and over again in Scripture. And we can't get caught up. We can't get caught up in our own little world, our own little life, or the things of the world. And we live in such a way that we are ignoring Jesus' teachings. This is the important thing. We can't live in such a way where we're ignoring Jesus' teachings, because he's going to be coming back, and we don't want him to come back and we're just playing games. We're doing our own thing. We need to be honest, though. Sometimes just watching and waiting for Jesus' return, that can get tedious. I mean, when's he coming? When's he coming? Early on, when our daughter Kara began receiving her chemo medicine, they sent it by FedEx. It would come to the house FedEx, and the package needed to be signed for. I remember one day she was, you know, hey, my medicine is coming tomorrow, but I'm working tomorrow. And she said, Dad, is there any way that you could be here to sign for that package? I said, yeah, I think it'll work. And so, you know, I got my stuff and went home and staying at home. And so I asked, well, when is it coming? Well, she said that anytime between 9 and 6, right? And so, okay, so I'm at home, and I think at one time I even messaged her. I just said, hey, can you get online and find out, you know, like, is it going to be soon, you know? And she got online and put in the number and everything, and she gets a message back that just says, package is out for delivery, right? So you get that. So you don't know when, but, you know, but you're thinking, do I have time to run to Walmart? Yeah, there's a few things I get. Do I have time? No. Oh, I forgot something at church. Do I have time to run back to church and just pick that up and get back? But what if I miss it? You know, it's just, you know, so what do? We just sit and we wait for the arrival of the package. That is how we're supposed to live in anticipation of Jesus' return. It's an important package that we don't want to miss. This past week, President Trump was flying to London, heading to the UK, and as he was beginning the flight over there, there was another plane that was flying from Fort Lauderdale to Boston that paralleled Air Force One, but they were 8 miles apart, but close enough that an air traffic controller told the pilot of this plane, he said, Spirit Air 1300, please turn 20 degrees to the right. 5 seconds goes by, didn't hear him. So he repeats the command. You know, he said, pay attention, Spirit Airlines 1300, you have to move, you know, 20 degrees to the right. Still nothing. He does it 2 more times to reach the pilot before he responds. Then the pilot acknowledges and makes the turn 20 degrees to the right. The air traffic controller then radioed to the pilot. He said, listen, why do I have to talk to you twice every time? He says, pay attention, get off the iPad. Now, I read that pilots will often use iPads as kind of an electronic flight bag that have all kind of information about the plane and the airports and the flight paths and all that sort of stuff. But pay attention. And this is what Jesus is telling us. Pay attention, because there are a lot of distractions out there, and we can too easily get caught up in less important things. where we are no longer focused on the treasure of Jesus. And sometimes we can think that we are, but we're really not. When we are distracted away from Jesus, we miss opportunities to grow spiritually, to become more mature believers. We miss opportunities. When that happens, then we miss opportunities to help other people. We miss opportunities to tell other people about Jesus. We miss out on the abundant life that Jesus is talking about. And so that is why he calls us, pay attention and live in awareness and alertness in your relationship to God. And then in verse 38, we get the second, it will be good. He says, it will be good for those servants whose master finds them ready, even if he comes in the middle of the night or toward daybreak. Here's the second. It will be good for us to be equipped and ready for service. Last year, our family got a new water filter put in the house. We had too much iron in our water. We needed an iron water filter. And it takes two tanks. We got these two tanks about 5 feet high in our garage. And so the guys that come out to install it, oh my gosh, if I had told you, you remember the story I told some people last year, it was like having a Keystone Cops there that come out to install this. Both of them were young. One of them kind of knew what he was doing. He knew what he was doing. The other guy was like, he'd just been hired that morning. He really didn't have a clue, right? And here's the thing, it takes two tanks. And when the guy, he knocked on the door, he just said, hey, we only got one tank in the truck. I need to go back to the place and get another tank. I'm like, okay, all right, how do you be not prepared for that? And then partway during the installation process, they needed to run a plug up to an outlet up in the ceiling of my garage. And knocks on the door, hey, can we borrow your ladder? You got a ladder we can borrow? Yeah, sure, no problem. You got a ladder. A little while later, you know, he's working on some of the fine tuning of the filter itself. He said, do you have one of those little hex wrenches that'll fit in there? I got one of those. And that's, thank God it seems to be removing all the rust out of all the iron out of our water. But for a professional company, they sure seem to be unprepared and unequipped. And Jesus is telling his disciples, listen, you need to be prepared because there's some really serious stuff that's going to happen as he heads towards the cross. And he wants them to be fully equipped as disciples, so they can survive that time, so they can continue to press on and lead his movement once he is gone. And Jesus makes the same demand of us. Think about it for a moment. You may never deny the faith. You may never deny the faith. You may never walk away from Jesus. You continue to go to church. But you will come across times when you do not act like a mature Christian. That's the challenge that is before us. There are going to be times when you are be challenged of how are you going to act like Jesus. When things don't go your way, how are you going to respond? You're going to get angry and unhinged. There are some people that just get unhinged and they lash out and they post junk on Facebook. Or you're going to an encounter situation that makes you fearful, makes you afraid. How are you going to respond in that situation? Are you going to continue to live in fear and be worried and anxious? What's going to happen next? Or as the wave of the latest ideas and thinking and trends come across us in our society and culture, is it just going to be easier for you to just go along with it? Or are you going to stand firm in your faith? Or are you going to say, no, the teachings of Jesus say this. I am not going to do that. Are you going to have a mindset of serving other people like Jesus talked to us about? able to recognize the needs of the hurting or the marginalized? Or are you just going to focus on caring for yourself and your family? Jesus said, I don't want these things to happen to you. And so he said, I want you to be equipped. How do we become equipped? We read the scriptures. Now, I know you hear me say this probably 3 out of 4 times sermons that I preach. Read the Bible. Read the words of Jesus. Spend time in prayer. That's why we have this Practicing the Way discipleship class, so we can learn the practices of Jesus that he taught his disciples. You learn how to pray. You learn how to live in community and get along with one another. We learn how to be generous like Jesus taught us. Sometimes I hear people say, you know, they would just say, well, I don't know the Bible real well. Or, you know, I don't pray good, you know. And my question is, well, what are you doing to, I don't ask this, what are you doing to improve that? It's just, well, I don't read the Bible much, so I don't know the Bible real well. Oh, well. Jesus wants us to be equipped. He wants us to be mature disciples. Here's the Apostle Paul, what he told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2. He said this, do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. Are you doing your best as a follower of Jesus? What are you doing to grow spiritually? How are you becoming a better disciple of Jesus? And then finally, Jesus said in verse 43, it will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing what he's supposed to be doing when he returns. The third one is this, it'll be good for us to be faithful in carrying out our duties. Our vocation as followers of Jesus is a lot like somebody who is on call. Right? You have a patient that has going to have a baby, and you're a doctor. You are on call to address that need. If you work for a company that fixes air conditioning units, sometimes you are on call to fix that AC unit during the summer so that people can have cool air. You are on call. We are on call as followers of Jesus. In other words, what that means is we are called to act like Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. No days off. We don't get to say, well, he really made me angry, so that's okay. Or, this is what we have to do in order to... No, we act like Jesus. We are faithful regardless of the situation. And Jesus says, guess what? It'll be good for us. It'll be good for us. A few years ago, Diana and I were at an airport, and we were waiting for a connecting flight. And of course, it was delayed. And then it was delayed again. And the agent would say into the muffled microphone, you know, boarding will begin shortly. You know, you can hardly ever hear what's being said. But it kept, you know, boarding's going to begin shortly, right? But the thing was, the gate was packed. There were tons of people waiting. Our plane was going to be full. There were other planes. The whole airport just seemed to be packed with people. It was hectic. It was noisy. You can't hear the announcements when they're coming off because half of them don't apply to you anyhow. You know, and you try and listen. I can't hear what's going on, right? And so what do you do? What do you do when you're delayed at an airport? Take a nap. You sleep. You scroll on your phone. I'm hungry. I need to go get something to drink. I need to use a bathroom. I'm just going to wander through the airport and just take a walk, you know. So we do that. And because the airport, when you're waiting for a plane, because it's crowded and noisy and you're tired and you can't hear real clear, it's easy to stop paying attention. But when the agent finally calls your group to go up, those who are listening, what do? Oh, that's us. They grab their bags and they walk on the plane. And then you watch other people that are scrambling around. You know, you have everything. Jimmy, where'd Jimmy go? Where'd he go? And so they're, go get him. We're loading up the airplane. And then you got the guy who's sleeping. You know, is he in our plane? Should I wake him up or just leave him go? You know, we got people doing all those things. But here's the deal. A plane doesn't wait for passengers who aren't ready. When the doors close, they close. And Jesus' return is like that unannounced boarding call. Watching means that we keep one ear tuned into his voice. Ready for service means that our bags are packed, our faith is nurtured, our heart is clean, we are living holy lives. And faithful means that we live each ordinary day like that might be the day that Jesus steps through that gate and says, the plane's ready. So when the master arrives, we don't have to scramble, we don't have to panic, we simply get up and smile and walk with joy because we have been waiting for this flight all along. Would you bow your heads, please? And I just want you to think, just in this time of silence, just between you and God, perhaps you're here and you have never really made a decision to follow Jesus. But maybe just something is resonating within you right now, and that is what you want to do. That is what you're ready to do. I just ask you to go ahead and tell God right now that you are ready to follow Jesus, whatever it takes. Perhaps you're here and you kind of realize that maybe you've been kind of distracted. You've been unfocused over the past period of time. You realize Jesus is not at the center of your life. Jesus is not the treasure. Yeah, you think highly of him, but you don't treasure him the most. I just want you to ponder that whole idea. What is God saying to you during this time? What is the next step you think that God wants you to take? Father God, we thank you for the words of Jesus and his warnings about the things that kind of take our eyes off of him, things that distract us from what is most important. Father, we pray that this would be a week where we would feel your love like we never have before, and that we would respond to you in a way like we never have before. Give us courage and strength to make the changes that we need to make to put Jesus at the center. And we ask these things in his name. Amen.